Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Pardon by God as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 7. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, "We're not offending because they've sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers." Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will rise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. All of Chaldea shall be spoiled, and all that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord, because they were glad and they rejoiced in their destruction of God's heritage, because you've grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness and a dry land and a desert. This nation that was once the glory of the earth is going to become barren. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow and shoot at her. Spare not arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do it unto her. Now that's a phrase that also comes up in Revelation 18 as God speaks of the destruction of that commercial system of Babylon. As she has done, do double, he declares, unto her. So here the destruction of Babylon is predicted. The walls are to be destroyed. Walls, again, as we made mention, were 300 feet high and 80 feet thick. Yet the prophet Jeremiah had the audacity to say, they're going to tear down the walls. They did. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Now that's Israel, that's the northern kingdom, that is not Judah, the southern kingdom. And in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. That to me is a beautiful passage of Scripture. In that day, you'll look for their sins, but you can't find them. Not because they don't exist, but because God has pardoned them. David said, oh, how happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Oh, how happy is the man whose sins are covered. How happy is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity. Paul, in quoting from the words of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David, in Romans chapter 2, picks up that same refrain. Oh, how happy is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity. Who is that happy man? It is the man who is believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. It's glorious to realize that as I walk in the light as he is in the light, as I believe and trust in him, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is continually cleansing me from all of my sin. I have no sin. Why? Because God has pardoned me through Jesus Christ. And there is that continual work of God's love being wrought in me as there is that continual cleansing from my sin. So with Judah and Israel, God said they'll search, but they can't find their sins because I've pardoned them. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. It is declared in the scripture that he seeks to accuse them before God day and night. But he must have a wild time when he's trying to accuse us before the Lord. Because the Lord says, what sins? I don't know of any sins, you know. Yeah, but didn't you see them last week? They really blew it, you know. Didn't see a thing. Oh, come on now, you know. I've pardoned them. Because of your belief and trust in Jesus Christ, oh, if we only realize the marvelous grace of God towards us. Now, it is wrong, absolutely wrong, for us to then presume against that grace or to use the grace of God as a cloak for our lasciviousness. That is not what the scripture is referring to at all. Shall we sin freely that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? I am not to take advantage. I really can't take advantage. God won't let me take advantage of his grace. If I'm just going out and sinning with the anticipation, well, God will forgive me, then I've got this whole thing totally wrong and I'm in serious trouble. For whosoever is born of God does not live in the practice of sin. And the very fact that I can go out and deliberately and willfully practice sin would bring into question whether or not I am truly born again. The grace of God is not there for me to presume upon and just to make a covering so that I can sin with impunity and just say, well, you know, God's going to cover with his grace. Never. But it's good to know that as I'm seeking the Lord and as I'm trying to follow after him through the weakness of my flesh, I may fail or I may fall, that as I am loving and serving the Lord, God doesn't impute iniquity against me. He's not a Santa Claus in the sky who's making out a list, checking it twice, finding out who's naughty and nice. He has no list on me. He's thrown the record away. Oh, how happy is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity, that man who is seeking to serve the Lord with his whole heart, who has denied himself to take up the cross to follow him. I will pardon them whom I reserve. Oh, I love that. Go up against the land of Merathim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth? And of course, Babylon was the hammer that had bludgeoned the whole earth. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? For I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found, and you've been caught, because you have striven against the Lord. Isaiah said, woe unto the man who strives with his maker. How foolish it is for a person to strive with God. And yet, how many people are guilty of that folly? But what a wonderful day when I quit striving with God and I just surrender and say, oh, God, I don't want to fight you anymore. I don't want to run from you anymore. God, I'm on your side. I surrender. Now, what's so bad or difficult or hard about that? And yet, look how hard people fight from doing that. Look how hard they resist God. But when you're resisting God, you're really resisting your own good. Because God's plan and purpose for you is the best that could ever happen to your life. And thus, to strive with God, you're really striving against your own welfare, your own good. And that's sort of dumb. But people do it. And why, I don't know. Because it is always such a glorious day when you quit striving with God and you just surrender and say, oh God, not going to fight you anymore. I just want to walk with you. I just want to live in fellowship with you. I just want to love you and know you more. Oh, what a beautiful day. You know, there's got to be something, well, I would say diabolical, but that's very obvious, with anyone who would fight with God. But here is Babylon being destroyed because they have striven against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory. He has brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Watch out. God has gotten out his armory now against Babylon. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all of her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she has done. Do unto her. The same phrase sort of repeated. Do unto her as she has done. She destroyed the temple of God in Jerusalem. They took away all of the vessels from the temple of God and carried them to Babylon. Well, not necessarily all, but many of them, the cups and so forth that were used. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Now, in the time that Babylon was destroyed, in the evening that Babylon was destroyed, Belshazzar, who was a co-regent with his father, was in the city of Babylon in a great feast unto the Lord's, which lasted several days. And finally, during the midst of this drunken party, he ordered that they bring the gold and silver vessels that they had taken from the temple of Jerusalem and pour their wine into these gold and silver vessels that they might drink their wine out of these vessels that had been consecrated unto God, in order that they might exalt themselves against the God of Israel. And as they were drinking out of these golden vessels and praising the gods of gold and silver, suddenly there came the appearance of a hand upon the wall and writing upon the plaster. And Belshazzar began to shake. And he called his wise men to tell him what the words said. None of them were able to do it until Daniel was finally brought in, the old man, probably in his 90s now. And he gave this young king a real lecture. He said, you've praised the gods of gold and silver, but the very God in whose hand your breath is, you've not glorified. You didn't learn the lesson of your father Nebuchadnezzar, who was lifted up with pride. And because of his pride, was driven from the kingdom until he knew that it was God who ruled over the earth. And though you knew of his experiences, yet you've exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. And therefore has this writing come. And its interpretation is, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And this night, your kingdom will be divided between the Medes and the Persians. Solemn declaration of God, which was fulfilled that night and Jeremiah's prophecies fulfilled, because they were proud against the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, shall her young men fall in the streets, and all of her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, and the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all around about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go, but their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name, and he shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote, and a sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. And of course, the interesting thing is that as Cyrus was conquering the city of Babylon, his method of conquest was to divert the river Euphrates into canals around the city of Babylon. And in thus diverting the river Euphrates, the soldiers were able to come through on the riverbed under the walls of the city and then on up into the city and destroyed it. But here even the drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore, the wild beasts of the deserts with the wild beasts of the coast shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall no more be inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And they shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel. They'll not show mercy. Their voice will roar like the sea. And they shall ride upon horses, every one put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me, and who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. The prophecy is continued through chapter 51. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon the fanners, and they shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, they shall be against her round about, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, against him that lifted himself up in his brigandine. And spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all of her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Hear the warning to flee out of her, out of the midst of Babylon. In Revelation chapter 18, as God is speaking of the destruction that is going to come against this commercial Babylon, he again says to for his people to flee out from her. Come ye out from among her, saith the Lord, as he warns his people to come out from that godless commercialism which is to be destroyed. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hands that made the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. We read, of course, again in Revelation how that the merchants will stand afar off as they see it burning and will howl and wail because of the loss of this great commercial system.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 50 through 51 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord watch over you as you go. May his hand be upon your life for good. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. May your life be as a light shining in a dark place, bringing hope to those who sit in darkness. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.